The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. You know my prayer, Father, that you move your servant out of the way. That you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. I thank you, Father, for the blessing of being able to look at your word. For those of us who need conviction, I pray you convict us. And those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. Nothing greater in all the world, Lord, than your word. And it is true. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
John chapter 1. I'm going to another chapter, chapter 5. I was in front of myself, so I need to slow down a little bit. Verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who you be? Alabama sneaking in today. You can just imagine, amen. John the Baptist is turning things out. And I believe I'm ready to have an argument if it's necessary. But I think John the Baptist is doing most of the teaching and turning people and preparing the way for Christ about 6 months. He and Christ is 6 months, probably 6 months apart in age. John the Baptist was born before Jesus Christ, 6 months prior to Christ being born. And Jesus started his ministry at age 30. And I believe John started his ministry at age 30. And if that is true, then how many months has John been teaching before Christ started? 6 months. And he has put the whole nation on call in 6 months. It's absolutely amazing to me how little we have done as a church. Not talking about just Antioch. I'm talking about the New Testament church. In 2011 years. It is based upon your control by the Holy Spirit that leads us to an opportunity to impact the world. I want you and I to come to a conclusion that in the next 6 months, we should have the Northwest worried. If no other church wants to do it, that's fine. But Antioch, we are in the rush. Amen. We're in the call to represent Jesus Christ like no other time. There's no greater time ever to be a Christian, I believe, than right now. I mean, we have the opportunity, as John had the opportunity to run before the forerunner, the last Old Testament prophet, John, first cousin to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the only prophet that saw the prophecy fulfilled. How about us? Could we usher in the call of the church out of here? That's the possibility that we have. And I want to tell you a little secret. I don't mind being pulled out of here to get away from this body that I'm in right now. I mean, some of us, man, we are not in a position where we want to be pulled out of here. We like it. We got Christians say, God, I just paid my house off. Can you wait? is so contradictory, isn't it? That we think that this is our home. Jesus Christ left his home to come to our visitation. We're visitors here. We're not home yet. And Jesus Christ came down on earth just to show us a little bit of what it's going to be like in heaven, to get us ready to go to heaven, and we're still fighting to stay down here. You know, we're afraid to die. Most Christians are afraid to die. Jesus Christ showed us living don't really start till we quit breathing. And we Christians are the only one that can afford to quit breathing. Nothing wrong with stop breathing. And I don't know how long the Lord's going to leave me on this earth, but I do know one thing. As long as I'm here, I'm going to mess up the earth. 15, John bore witness. The church of Antioch in Kirkland ought to bear witness. He is before us. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about Antioch, the church. It's about Jesus Christ, whom we all know, who we all witness, who we all say we love, who we all say has died for us, who we all say has been resurrected for us, who we all say is the greatest belief, the greatest religion, the greatest relationship ever. Jesus Christ. That's what we are called to do. What we are called to be. Check this out. And of the fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Knowing Jesus Christ, there is nothing left that you and I need. He has given us all the grace. How much grace? All the grace. And sometimes we are not satisfied with all the grace he's given us. It's such a contradiction of how we think and what we think we need. When he says, I have given you grace to grace, mercy to mercy, I've given you the fulfillment of God Almighty. That is such a contradiction for us to want something more. You know what contradiction is? White chocolate. Somebody say amen for me. What's up with that? White chocolate. Contradiction? How about Army intelligence? Somebody says, hey. There's no contradiction in Christ being our perfect picture of everything we need. There's no contradiction in the fact that if you're looking for anything outside of Christ, you're always going to be dissatisfied. I don't care what you get. I don't care how much you get. I don't care how much success. And at our house, man, this weekend has been a phenomenal success. Athletic-wise. I'll take that. Can I have an amen? Because it wasn't promised to us. My daughter is coaching up there. Won the league, going to state in volleyball. That's smoking. Yeah. My son last night, but they was not supposed to even be close. They won last night. Won. The Hughes' boy, Friday, smoked them. Whooped up on them. Took no mercy. Didn't show them any Jesus until after the game. That's what I said, man. As Christians, if we go into war, you go in and you kill a gnat with a sludge hammer. And then you banish them up. Can I have an amen? That's what you do right now. It's such a contradiction for us to not to understand the love that God's given us, the fullness of all of him, the grace that he's given us, and we still have a problem thinking that we need more. We don't need any more than Jesus. Then what want me to prove it? Right here. John says, hey, he's preferred before me. I know I came first. I know I'm 6 months here before he was. I know I was conceived 6 months before he was. But you know, he was before I was conceived. I'm just temporarily here. He's eternally here. And since he is before me, even though I was born before him, I like him. Guess what? Jesus was before you and I. He was here before you and I. And he made you so you can understand and be appreciative of him being more than you. Amen. But we just struggle sometimes. We're just so hard just to go ahead and give it up. Am I the only one? Have you ever seen that? Check this out. All of you that are here today that's visiting, and I'm only going to preach about 10 more minutes, 15 at the most, you're going to go, well, I'm going back, man. He preaches so short. And you're going to come back and get shell-shocked next week, blown away, because our sermons start on Communion Sunday with communion. We refuse to put communion at the end of the service because it ends up being the end of the service. Folks are trying to rush and get out, wasting juice on people. Did I say that? Did that come out loud, bro? You heard that? You know how women are when it comes to grape juice and tablecloths. You represent the blood of Christ, bro. You know what I'm saying? So we refuse to put it at the end. We start our sermons on the first Sunday. So come on back next week and strap yourself in, because we're going to get into some good stuff again. This is what I like right here. Everyone look at verse 17. If you don't watch out what this says, you're going to miss an awesome amount of information. And that's why I'm preaching, to help you not miss an awesome amount of information. Verse 17. For the law was given by who?
Moses.
What did it say? The law was what?
It was given through.
Oh. I like this. I like this. You know why I like this? Because John says, I don't know what all the debate about who wrote the law. I don't know what the debate is about who wrote the first five books. El Moses. The Spanish Hebrew. And when we get over to chapter 5, it's going to get even worse, because they're going to be quoting Jesus, and Jesus is going to say Moses wrote the first five books. So as far as I'm concerned, this chapter in chapter 5 proves to me who wrote the first five books. Can I have some? Watch this now. It's going to get worse. For the law was given by Moses, through the Holy Spirit. So you can say whatever you want. You know, let's argue about it. We just know that the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Question: which is more difficult, the law or grace? Can't hear ya. Oh, you just guess it. You don't really believe that, right? Come on, Dr. Smile at me. You don't really believe that grace is more difficult than the law. See, in the Old Testament, the law was given to drive people to Christ, to prove that you cannot live by the law. The New Testament, life and grace was given to you and I to drive us to Christ. Now, if you said you believe grace is more difficult than the law, why are you expecting your life now to be easier than it was in the Old Testament? I hate that bad teaching when people start talking about, well, you know, you're coming to know the Lord and things just fall into place. Most of the time, it falls from the top shelf in place on your head. Can I have that? Bam! What happened? Oh, I don't know, but Jesus just rocked my world. You see, grace and life are given to us in the New Testament. It's more difficult than the law because it is more creature comforts today than they had in the Old Testament. We're more apt to run for that which is comfortable. Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't mind jumping in a Lincoln Continental to drive to Tacoma. Talk to me. Oh, you don't even know what I'm talking about. All right. Old Testament, horse and buggy. New Testament, Mercedes. Which one do you want to go in? You know, God's watching y'all. You ought to be very honest. I want the Mercedes. Now, I don't just want a Mercedes. Talk to me. I want the big Mercedes. I want two Mercedeses. So I can go in one car, my wife can go in the other car. To the same place. Can I have an amen? I want myself. Creature comforts. So God says, if I'm going to make life easier for you as information highway grows and gets more lanes, it's quicker for us to forget about he who has given us all grace and all mercy. So he has to come back and help us realize what is real important, and that is his grace that he's given us. Moses gave us the law. Jesus gave us life. You ready? Want me to prove it? You from Missouri? Go with me over here to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. Guess what chapter? I almost said John 5, so what chapter do you think I want you in Matthew? Thank you very much. Come on, we got time. A little bit, but jump over there. Moses gave us what?
The law.
Jesus gave us what?
Life.
Verse 21, Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said by them of old. Have you ever slowed down? Verse 22 said, but I say. Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
Amen.
This is Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. If you hadn't noticed yet. It has been said, but I say. Now, John 1:17 says, Moses gave us the law, but I'm going to give you better than the law. I'm going to give you me. And me makes you molded. Not comforted in the way you want to be comforted. Anyone know what the word comfort means? Anyone know what the word comfort means? It means to come with strength. What was that? What was that? Mercedes? Yeah. I love someone getting my sermon. Can I have an amen? Does anyone know what comfort means? Mercedes. I love this church. They don't miss nothing more. It means to come with strength. Anyone know when you need strength? Oh, people said, I don't want to answer that one. I don't want to be responsible for that answer. When do you need strength? When you're weak. When you're hurting. When things aren't going your way. You need strength to hold on to he who says, I've given you all my fullness. I've given you all my grace. I've allowed you to know me. And me is the most important me you can have. Okay, let's check it out. Let's translate it the way I believe it should be translated. Several verses in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. And you heard Moses say, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But let me tell you what I say. Jesus Christ, the one who's been revealed, who brings all of heaven down here on earth, say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell fire that is coming. Moses made it tough. I made it impossible. without me. Look at this. Verse 27. You heard Moses say that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But that's easy. Because what I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. Somebody tell me, what's more difficult? To commit adultery or to think about it? That's why I never, ever take a second look at a good-looking woman. That's right. I have a long first look. Can I have an amen? That second look gets you in trouble, so just hold on to the first. Can I have an amen? Because you got to know at the first one, the Holy Spirit going to kick in right there. What you doing, boy? So the Holy Spirit will kick you in, to stop you on that second. That second look will get you in trouble. Real quick. But I said, Moses just, see, if you commit it, I said, if you think about it. And I love those some Christians. Said, well, you know, if I think about it, I've done it. So if I'm going to be held for it anyway, I might as well do it. You idiot. That is an absolute idiotic thought. Can I have an amen from somebody? Well, hey, man, you know, I'm going to be judged anyway. I might as well enjoy it. Please. You know, it's one thing for you to think about. It's another thing for you to bring someone else in your sin.
Yes, sir. Oh, boy.
And it says, if you turn one away from me, it's better for you not to even been born. And if you was born, tie a millstone and throw you in the water. Am I preaching, Mark? You like it, baby? Am I preaching the way you wrote it? All right, baby. Yeah. Look at verse 31, Matthew 5. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a right of divorce. What? That was what Moses said. Let me tell you what I said. Unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except for the cause of fornication, not adultery, fornication. I wish we had time to jump on that one, but we don't, because I got to talk about what Jesus said compared to what Moses said. Check this out. But I say, if you put your wife away, except for what I know is the cause, before you have committed oneness, before you had sexual union, it causes her to commit adultery, and who shall ever marry her shall also be committing adultery. What is more difficult, grace or law? Grace, grace, true grace. Verse 33. Again, you have heard by Moses that it has been said by them of old, Moses, thou shalt not perjure thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Verse 34. But I say, Jesus Christ, being before Moses, being before John the Baptist, being before anybody, say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, nor by God's throne. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You know, it's so bad today that the number one purpose of a contract is see how you can get out of it. That's why lawyers love us as believers. Last verse, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. We're not talking about a person. In verse 18, we're talking about a being. Okay? We're not talking about a person. We're talking about being. A better translation would be deity. Let me see. Want to read it with me when we translate it correctly? Verse 18. No man has seen deity at any time. The only begotten Son, who is deity, who is in the bosom of deity, he came out of the presence of deity to come down here to you and I so he can reveal deity to you and I. You have no excuse. I just don't know God. I wish I knew God. I just don't know him. That is a lie. The Son of God has revealed deity to you and I. Any aspect of what you need, Jesus Christ came to do. He is the answer to all questions. He is the answer to all problems. And God has given us life so that life would drive us to Jesus Christ. Have you found him? Do you know him? Old sermon. Pastor preached about 30 minutes giving all the definitions of who God was. And when he got through, he says, you know what? I wish I could explain him to you. God the Father has been revealed through Jesus Christ. The answer for us all. I don't know. I'm too dumb to think of anything else better than Jesus. And I pray I never get more intelligence than what I got. Can I have an amen? Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for today. It is a wonderful thing to know you. And Father, if there's anyone here that don't know you, because this is about the gospel, the good news. No greater news than Jesus Christ. I pray that they would say, Jesus, here I am. You must believe that Jesus is man, and you must believe that Jesus is God. And the only thing you have to say is, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe you're God. I believe you were man. You must believe that he lived on earth without sin. The only thing you have to say is, God, thank you for your son. I believe that he lived on this earth without sin. You must believe that he died on the cross and was buried. You got to tell the Father, I believe in your son. I believe he was put on the cross in my place, that he was buried. You must believe that he was resurrected. And you must say, Jesus, thank you. Not for dying, not for being buried only, but I thank you for rising again to replace my place to the deity, that he may accept me through you. You must believe that your sins can be forgiven if you ask. Very simple. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Father, thank you that I can get these sins forgiven because of Jesus. And thank you for making me your child. That's what it's all about. One day at a time. Walking with my Lord and Savior. It ain't going to be easy. And now, if you notice what I went back south on you, it ain't gonna be easy. But it ain't that tough when you're walking with the Lord. We can handle it all. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen?
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.